Welcome to Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today,
sports radio on the dial. Check us out, we'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and join us on the adventure. Talking sports, baby. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday.com for the website, and your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us, Facebook us. And Ray, we got the Urban Daily audience and their affiliates, Radio One, joining us. And the question of the day is, Ray, does the NFL have a major problem or issues with violence off the field? Where are we at right now?
What do you say?
Well, they have a problem with violence on the field too, with all these injuries, and we'll get into that.
Yes, we will. But yeah,
I think there is an issue, and I don't know if it's disproportionately found among football players just because of the nature of the sport and the nature of that alpha male, you know, person who succeeds in football. Look, all of these things are coming to light a little too much in the last few weeks. So, the NFL has an issue, whether it's perceived or whether it's actual. There's too many NFL players in the news, and I'm not talking about Josh Gordon for smoking weed. I mean, these are some serious issues that are going on, and these are the ones we know about. So the NFL might have an issue here, and again, I don't know if it's much different from society. You know, if you put 1,000, how many players are there in the NFL, right? 53 players on a roster, call it 60 players on 32 rosters, so almost 2,000 players in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a bit of an issue, especially now Roger Goodell wants to have this squeaky clean image. And when your players are getting arrested left and right, and like I said, this is not for minor, you know, recreational drugs. I mean, this is for serious, serious things, domestic violence. I mean, that's some serious stuff, and that goes against everything Roger Goodell's been trying to do the last 5 or 10 years in terms of cleaning up the image of the NFL. So, yeah, there's a bit of an issue.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you. I got to say that we've got to get to a place where everything is written out on the books and we say this penalty equals this. This happens if that. Because honestly, today or tomorrow, Ray Rice will appeal his suspension from the league being out indefinitely. And Ray Rice, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He actually has the case. It's not his fault that Roger Goodell only gave him 2 games. And he's saying that there's nothing different from the video from what he told the NFL. Ozzie Newsom and the Ravens backed that up. And then the NFL decided, because of public opinion and the fact that they got it wrong, that they would suspend him indefinitely. And, you know, the NFLPA has got to appeal it. And in actuality, Ray, if you're going to say anything, he's a first-time offender. So he could argue that if you're going to give him anything, give him 6 games, because that's what you just changed the rules to. You know what I mean? So that there's got to be clear stuff on the books. And if we're going to wait for everything in due process, then also Sunday morning, Ron Rivera benched Greg Hardy. Totally agree with it. Greg Hardy shouldn't have played Week 1. But if we're dealing with due process, which we had for the Colts owner, other players, then I guess with Greg Hardy, due process is when the appeal is sort of dealt with November 17th. So then if the NFL hasn't suspended him and you put the onus on the Panthers, it's hard for them to say, wait a minute, should we sit him out and deactivate him all this time? Because legally they can only do 4 games. I'm just saying we need clear stuff on the books. Now the NFL is about to pass a new drug policy, which we spoke about on Friday show, with the HGH and stuff like that. So that should be good. And they're trying to, you know, get that clear it up so people like Orlando Sandrick for the Cowboys and Wes Welker can play this weekend, and then Josh Gordon can play, you know, in 8 more games after a 10-game suspension. But don't you agree that, like, no matter what it is, right, it's got to be stated clearly. We can't have shades of gray. It's got to be black or white. This, you do this, this is the penalty for that.
Yeah, I just don't think it's that easy, though. I mean, not that the NFL gets it right every time, but I think it's hard to have a specific, you know, with when it's just drugs, look at baseball. They do 25 games if you do this and 50 games if you do that. The problem is the NFL now, you're asking them to have almost like a matrix. If you commit this crime, this is your penalty. If you commit that crime, so you almost have to think of all the crimes that these knuckleheads
You're asking them to do something that you act like it's impossible. That's not impossible. They already have it, just not specifically for everything. And I agree with you. Like, what? Okay, what happens if you rob a convenience store? Well, no. I mean, there's basic charges. There's assault. There's this. I don't think it's really that difficult. The question is, for example, if you want to criticize them, how come they didn't already have something for domestic violence on the books? You know, today they just promoted somebody within and hired 3 other women, promoted a woman from within and hired 3 other women in the NFL to, you know, deal with specifically this issue to show that they're taking it seriously. Because guess what? This Sunday, over 4 stadiums, there were planes flying that Roger Goodell must go. So it's time, Ray, to not, you know, you can't even joke about it. They have to take it seriously, and they have to put down the gauntlet of if this, then that. Because let me ask you, what did the Panthers do, and what does the NFL do with Greg Hardy?
Well, that's the worst part, is this ambiguity. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because Roger Goodell in the first few years was very decisive about what can and can't be. Some people said, and a lot of people said, overly aggressive in terms of punitive and punishing players and so forth. And now
– And he was in some cases, and especially Bountygate, you know. I think he was.
And now he's, quote-unquote, letting due process run its course. So I'm not sure. The truth, like always, usually resides somewhere in the middle. I mean, you can have a stern hand, but I hear what you're saying. This ambiguity, we talked about this a couple times with Josh Gordon, with Greg Hardy. Ray Rice didn't take that long. But you can't have this be up in the air. I mean, even if your decision gets appealed, at least make a decision. At least let the player, the owner, the team, the fans, and everybody else at least inform them with a decision. And then, you know, then you have an appeals process. If you didn't get all the facts or if something comes up that mitigates the circumstances, well, then that's fine. But I do think that they need to be making swifter decisions. I mean, thorough decisions, right? Not the day after it comes out. But this Greg Hardy up in the air, I think that didn't do anybody any good. Josh Gordon, right? We were talking about this. What do the Cleveland Browns do? Do they have him for the year? Or do they not have him for the year?
Right. That took forever.
So, yeah.
Even Alden Smith, when it was already decided in the courts, they still took another, a bunch of weeks to do anything. I mean, I just don't think you can do that even in the prelude to a season in hindrance of an organization getting prepared, you know, to build their rosters. Now, we have to say, we spoke about Friday. The news broke while we were on the air. You know, Adrian Peterson turned himself in. He was arrested down in Montgomery County and outside of Houston, Texas. And, you know, child abuse for spanking his own son. They were saying it was excessive. He, you know, released a statement today. Today, the Vikings reinstated him. This is a hard one. I don't agree with what he did. I think he went too far, made a mistake. But by no means, I don't think, you know, when we associate, you don't associate a spanking or disciplining your child with, quote unquote, a child abuser or child abuse. I think, if anything, and he sort of said it, like, look, I'm a loving, caring parent that made a mistake, and I'm not perfect. And I don't know if that means someone needs to be put in jail for that. I think it's a very fine line, and I think it's very hard in our society to tell people how to raise or discipline their children when, if they are not disciplined, And outside of our society and homes, it's we're very quick to put people in jail, especially disproportionately African-American men and boys in jail, or be shot in the street by police officers. So, you know, you got to be – it's a very fine line. You got to be very careful, you know, with how they judge this or even rule on this issue. What are your thoughts? Because it's very interesting.
Yeah, see, this is one where I don't mind if the NFL takes a slower approach and lets the court system, you know, take the lead on this, because
right.
I wasn't in the room, you weren't in the room, only Adrian Peterson and his kid were in the room, and if the prosecutor down in Texas doesn't find that – now, you could argue, why isn't this the same as the Ray Rice situation, right, because the prosecutor obviously passed on that one. So I hear that argument, but to me, because we were not in the room, if the Montgomery County – is it Montgomery County down there in Texas? If that county's prosecutor doesn't see this as a crime, I can't see how the NFL can view this as a crime and treat Adrian Peterson as if he committed a crime, you know, if the prosecutor down in Texas doesn't see that. So I think they did as much as they could, which is – The Vikings suspended him for one game and made him inactive. And
their
and
owners are
it.
All lawyers. You know that, right? The Wolves and their owners, they're all litigators and lawyers. So they really combed through this before they decided to reinstate him.
Evidently, right, and that's what I think you've got to look at. I mean, I don't know if you bring an investigator in, but you sit Adrian Peterson down and you try to understand what's going on, because if this is strictly a father disciplining his child, I mean, where do you draw the line? If this becomes a society issue, you know, this is not just an NFL issue. This is how much leeway do you give a parent to discipline his or her child before society steps in? Now, you can't beat your kid down, but at the same time, you don't want every time, you know, you scream at your child or try to discipline your child for society to then step in and say, lawyer, to then step in and say, all right, you're suspended. Without
right, pain. Yeah, from your job.
Because
then where does it end, right? Because if it's first a spanking or, you know, hey, a switch, that's wrong. People are raised culturally with that in the South. I know my grandparents, you know, I was hit with a switch at like 4 or 5. You know, I wasn't disturbed by it. There's no issue. You know what I mean? I don't even barely remember it, whatever. But I'm not saying that it's necessarily okay. I think it could be excessive. I would not do it to my boys. But where does it stop? Soon, if this is okay, well, then people say, I can't put my child on a timeout, or I can't punish them for the weekend, or I can't say you can't watch TV. You know what I'm saying? What's the limit of someone intruding? Because, yeah, it's easy for people to argue, like, oh, that's excessive, right? But we don't know in the next years what's next. Because one child with a cell phone could say, you know what? My parent put me on a timeout for 14 minutes, and I'm only 5 years old. That's too long. And somehow something gets texted or tweeted out. Technology is – listen, this is serious, people. We got to pay attention. But listen, let's talk sports. Let's get into – I mean, so many other things. You want to do Sunday – let's do Sunday night, and then let's get to the other things, and we'll get back to football. Well, let's save Sunday night. Let's talk injuries, because it's RG3, Ray – it's probably no fracture, probably will be about 8 to 12 weeks. He might come back, you know, even later than that, week 14. Do you think that this guy is just cursed, too fragile? Is Kirk Cousins going to take this and take advantage of it and ride? Or is he just temporarily holding Robert Griffin's spot and hopefully he does well?
I think Robert Griffin gets one more strike, and if injury-wise, right?
Right.
So he had the injury 2 years ago. He had the injury this year, now. And poor guy, right? I believe in RG3, but one more injury, and he might get put in Sam Bowie category. So he's one of these guys, and you can't have – and I love – and I hate to steal it from him, but it's fantastic. I don't know where he got it, if he made it up. But Trent Dilfer said the biggest ability you need to have is availability.
Right.
So
I think it was Chris Carter that said it first. I'm not sure.
Oh, Chris Carter. All right. As good as you are, if you're not on the field, especially at the quarterback position, right? Continuity is so important. That's why you really have to take your hat off to Brett Favre, to Peyton Manning, to Eli Manning. These guys are unbelievable because they show up
every
week, consecutive game streak. Now, granted, quarterbacks now have protection that you know quarterbacks didn't have 20 years ago, but you have to be there. And that's why I think ultimately this mobile quarterback, you know, maybe they get hurt too much. So we'll talk about that another day. But I think RG3 gets one more chance. I think Kirk Cousins is the starter essentially for the whole year unless he gets hurt. And they're going to bring RG3 back, hopefully better than ever for next year. And then that's it. If he gets hurt one more time, I think the Redskins need to start looking in another direction. Because unfortunately, this guy keeps getting hurt.
Do you pick Kirk Cousins up in fantasy? That's the next important question for all the listeners in the sports world.
Yes. Especially if
because they have so much talent around them.
Yeah, Niles Paul had a great game. And if Jordan Reed comes back, we'll see what's with DeSean Jackson. But Pierre Garçon, and you got a running game to take pressure off the passing game. So, there's no reason why whoever it is, the Redskins quarterback,
and Kirk
shouldn't
put up, two touchdowns and 250 yards and not playing the entire game. So, you know, and then next we got Ryan Matthews, Ray. After playing one full season, he's hurt again. I think it's 4 to 6 weeks, a right MCL sprain. So, you got to rely on Donald Brown and Danny Woodhead, which I noticed in one of our fantasy leagues. Ray has Donald Brown already. I'm like, oh, man, I wanted Donald Brown, but Ray already has him.
He's another guy that keeps – Ryan Matthews is another guy that just can't stay healthy ever since he's been a rookie. And I don't know if that's a – if that's a red flag, you get hurt in your rookie year, it could happen to anybody. It doesn't mean you're particularly injury-prone, but Ryan Matthews is injury-prone. Well, we could keep going with the running backs. What do you think about Mark Ingram out for a month?
Ingram.
Now, the Saints have depth at that position, so that's okay.
Kyrie Robinson, Ray, will step up. I don't like, and I know you have Pierre Thomas on one of your teams. I actually don't like Pierre. I think Kyrie is the guy or better than him. The guy that I would look for and I think is going to actually step up and excel in fantasy. And then Jamaal Charles. You know how I feel. I'm very wary of drafting him. He's been injured before. You know, it's like I almost don't trust him. I don't know. What are your thoughts about Charles and the Chiefs? The Chiefs seem to be cursed. Eric Berry hurt as well, and they've already lost Johnson and DeVito for the season. What do you think about Kansas City and their injuries?
They're going down. I tell you what, we'll talk about the game in a sec, but they played their hearts out, gave Denver all they could handle. But I just think ultimately you lose three starters in a matter of a week. Four starters, I guess, right? Three on defense and Jamaal Charles. Four starters. You get Bo back, but you can't overcome that. I don't think they can overcome that. So they're in trouble in terms of their playoff.
Especially 0-2, losing week one to the Titans, and then
lose to the Broncos. Yeah, we have that parade, unfortunately, keeps going, right? No, Sean Moreno got hurt. So the Dolphins.
The elbow. Dislocated
they
elbow.
They bring back Daniel Thomas.
Oh, wow.
So he was their high draft pick a couple years ago, and now he's back in the rotation with Moreno hurt. Mercedes Lewis catches that big 70-yard touchdown for Jacksonville.
I was
he's hurt.
Hadn't heard from him in a long time.
Out 6 to 8 weeks with an ankle sprain.
Yeah. Mike Evans got a little banged up at the end of the game, but I haven't heard, if that was anything serious. That Jackson is day-to-day. He might play this weekend. It's just a lot. You know, you feel bad for these teams. You feel bad for these players. It's a very brutal, violent game. Let's keep it moving, though. Before we get to baseball, two things real quick. Congratulations to USA Basketball for winning the FIBA World Cup in Spain. They took down, Serbia in the finals, blew them out, won by like 30, 40 points. Very impressive. Kyrie was amazing, 26. You had Klay Thompson and Cousins and all these guys chipping in. Harden had a big game. I don't know. How would you rank them? I mean, obviously, they ran the table. They were pretty dominant. They had moments where they seemed a little lazy, but overall, they did their job, right? It's America, and they, you know, didn't have to play Spain because of France upset them early, but they did their job, and they won. But I guess when you think of all the other, you know, international play teams, where do you think about this team, even though they're young?
Look, I thought this was an important few weeks for a few guys, and all for different reasons, right? I thought this was important for Derrick Rose to show that he's healthy and he can play again. I thought this was important for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry to show that they can be elite players and they can form an elite backcourt. I thought this was an important – and all positive. I don't see any negatives, right?
I thought this was
important for Anthony Davis to show that he is a legitimate star.
Yeah.
And those are the guys, those are the takeaways. Maybe a Kenneth Faried showed very well for himself. But the rest of the guys, I mean, you know who James Harden is, right? So this didn't really mean that much. But
what
I thought
about
for
Kyrie,
those three
though?
Or four guys.
Do you think Kyrie showed that he can play with other great superstars, which he will very quickly have to show in Cleveland with Love and LeBron? I think Kyrie is ready to turn the corner to be a true leader and be a big part of the new big three, right? To be a big three.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He did hit his 6 3-pointers, so that was good in the championship game. But you're right, because Kyrie Irving, remember, 3 weeks ago, it wasn't sure he was going to make the team. I mean, everybody said Derrick Rose, Harden, you know, Steph Curry, they're all in. Kyrie Irving was one of the ones that wasn't –
Right, either him
sure
or Damian Lillard, and he beat out Lillard, right. No, you're right.
So good for him. Good for him. Yeah. I'm sure LeBron, even though he'll be a little fatigued, I'm sure LeBron was very happy to see his boy, you know, Kyrie, get bigger, better, faster, and much stronger.
Right, and it's got to be good for the Cavs organization and going ahead in the future. And I think, like we mentioned before, good for the Warriors and good for the Kings to have two players have this experience. And I would say probably good for the Pelicans. Omer Sheikh showed well playing for, on Turkey. And then I believe Anthony Davis is ready to become a superstar in the NBA. So I think, you know, other teams had multiple players in this tournament, and I think it will bode well. Now, the first race in Chicago, our boy Brad Keselowski, who won in Chicago when he won his championship, I think it was 2012, wins the first race, so it guarantees him to go into the next round in NASCAR in the Sprint Cup Championship. What did you think about that? He held off Gordon. My boy Jimmy came in like 11th or 12th. What are your thoughts real quick on what happened on in NASCAR over the weekend?
It's funny because Brad Keselowski can get under people's skin.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's a good driver, right?
He's very good.
He definitely earned himself – well, they say he earned a hall pass in chases in the first round of the chase, right? So, look. The good thing is there's three more races until the next cut down from 16 to 12.
Right.
So you just keep watching until
what? But I don't understand. I got a quick question. You say 16 to 12, but there's more than 16 drivers racing. So I don't understand how that works. Explain that.
So I think the way that they've done this, they've done this for quite a few years now. They need to fill a race course, you know, a racetrack. So the other racers are still racing, and they could potentially –
But they're not eligible to win it?
Right, exactly. But they're eligible to win that race, but they're not eligible to win the Sprint Cup. So they're just trying to make money and do the best they can, but they can't, at the end of the day, walk away with the, you know, with the crystal ball.
Right, because there's still, traditional 30-some-odd drivers or something, you know, I was looking
to fill. Yeah, they need to fill a racetrack, right? They need to get the fans, they need to get everybody excited. Think about it at the very end when you're down to four. You know, you can't have eight drivers on a, you know, on a track. That's just not enough.
But out of the 16, they will eliminate each round those drivers, the contention guys.
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay. Because there's, 31 – I mean, in the race, there was still, I'm counting down, it was 50 drivers? Yeah, 43 drivers. So out of the 43, only 16 are in contention. So that's just fascinating and something that, you know, maybe all fans don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not an expert at NASCAR. I never claimed to be, but so that's interesting. So, look, we got to talk about it, man. Things are heating up. It is just going crazy in Major League Baseball. Before we talk about just specifically the standings and you know, the Pirates and these other teams that did good over the weekend, can we talk about the National League MVP? Got his 19th win. Clayton Kershaw, Ray, without a doubt to me now, should not only get Cy Young, but should get the MVP. In his last 19 starts, he's 16-1. He's leading in, wins and ERA. I mean, how impressive is this performance to you, the best pitcher in baseball and for the Dodgers right now?
$30 million man is earning every bit of his salary. I mean, what can you say?
Amen to that,
this guy is single-handedly dominating. And if you look back in history, I think it's only happened 2 or 3 times where a pitcher has won MVP. Roger Clemens did it in 84. Remember, he beat up Lou Mattingly.
The National League was Gibson. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Gibson did it. I think Dennis Eckersley did it. Maybe it's happened four or five times. So if it were to happen, it'd be very special. And I think that because Giancarlo Stanton got hit in the face and is missing games. Now, granted, our boy Kershaw missed some games in the beginning of the season, but, I mean, ever since he's been back, this guy's been
such a dominant, yeah. It's like you can't even measure it, right? All you can imagine is if he didn't miss the games, then he might have 25 wins. I mean, in terms of the way he's been so dominant. That's great to see. Let's stay in the National League real quick. The Pirates are doing pretty good, 79-90. You know, the Brewers 78-70, so 72. They're kind of struggling there. Atlanta has dropped back. They went on a little losing streak there, 75-74. So it looks like the Giants and the Pirates have a very good shot of being the wild card teams. Giants, you know, the Dodgers held them off a little bit. They got a 3-game lead now. But the Giants are number one in the wild card with, 82-67. As we start to look at these potential matchups, what are you thinking? I mean, right now, if it goes tomorrow, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, in that wild card matchup, what do you think would happen in a new playoff format?
That's a tough matchup. I think you flip a coin. San Francisco has the experience of winning two of the last five World Series. Pittsburgh's been in the playoffs now, and they kind of know what to expect. In a one game playoff, as much as I'm pulling for Pittsburgh, I might have to go with the Giants on that one game.
Yeah, I might have to agree with you. It also depends on who's starting. But one thing, Ray, that we know, Buster Posey, I mean, and you know, he's had a late National League MVP run. He's been playing great the last 2 months. But the Giants, man, like you said, those championship teams and those veterans and the experience, it'd be tough to see them lose. It's going to be fascinating, though, when these teams bump heads, the Nationals, Cardinals, and Dodgers. Who's the cream of the crop and who rises above. Let's go over to the American League where, you know, Seattle still had to, you know, bump heads with Oakland, and Oakland is kind of extended it. They're 2.5 up on Seattle. You know, Detroit is right there, 66 and 68 losses respectively for Oakland and Seattle. But Detroit, Ray, they have taken a 1.5-game lead over our Kansas City Royals, who probably at 67 losses will be the wild card. But, you know, who knows, because Seattle is only 0.5 game behind them. So what are you thinking right now in the AL? Obviously, our Yankees are done. I think Toronto's probably done, which breaks my heart. Seattle and KC. I think that's where it's going to come down to. Where are you leaning, man? What's going on in your head?
Yeah, that's what we've predicted couple shows ago, you know, I thought Detroit would come back and take over. Baltimore's running away with the East. First of all, I got to give kudos to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yes. If they go 7-6 in their next in their last 13 games, 100. They're going to win 100 games.
Amazing. Amazing.
So, you know, they could win 101, 102.
Yeah.
That's pretty good considering that.
By far the best team in baseball, right? I mean, it's not even close.
Well, but for 50% of the season, they were in second place, way behind the A's.
Yeah.
So
no, it's a great run.
Games up. Yeah.
Great run.
But in terms of
them
the
and
the
Orioles
card,
have been the most impressive teams, you know.
I'm pulling for, maybe it's my heart talking, but I'm pulling for my Kansas City Royals to beat out Seattle. And then, but what a tough matchup. They go and get the privilege of playing Oakland in a one-game playoff.
And they've got a ton of pitchers to throw at you in that one game, right?
I got to think Oakland might win that one. But, yeah, I'm rooting for Kansas City. Just make the playoffs, man. That team deserves it. That team's been starving for some baseball.
I mean, potentially, what we're looking at could be very fascinating. Let's just throw out there a final four of, like, the best teams. You could see the Angels against the Orioles. And then in the National League, you could see the Dodgers. Probably, let's just say, if we're being honest, the best team has been the Nationals over the Cardinals. Dodgers, Nationals, Orioles, Angels, that would be some exciting, you know, NL and AC and AL.
I feel
AL,
like my Tigers, man.
I know you do. Listen, do you think, but before we got to go to college football and to the NFL, one question though. Do you think they miss Prince Fielder, and do you think Cabrera is a little too banged up? Do you think he might wear down come the playoffs?
Well, he did last year because he had that groin and all those leg problems and, you know, muscle problems. Maybe. You know, Ian Kinsler, they got a different type of player for Prince Fielder. But Victor Martinez is having a great year. And last year they had Asdrubal Cabrera. So they changed a few parts. I think they're fine. I think they're fine because of their pitching. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, playoff baseball is low scoring. Pitching makes all the difference, and you need some clutch hitting. So can Detroit give you enough clutch hitting? I think they can, actually. So I think they'll be fine. I think Detroit will be just fine. In fact, I still am holding on. thinking that Detroit might represent the American League. But I look for the Angels and the Tigers as the ALCS.
You know what? Either way, it's going to be fun, and you just got to be excited. Now, talking about excitement, and we'll throw in some beats after college football before we get into the NFL. But let's get into college football, Ray. I got to tell you, you know, sort of a busy Saturday. I'm sort of doing a lot of things with the family and kids. But when I had the time to tune in, I tuned in to some great college football games. Let's give a major props to BC for upsetting USC. That was major to me. I didn't see that one coming. 32-31, I mean, they held them off. I'm sorry, 37-31, they held them off when they had to. Great home win and good win for the ACC. And then I want your thoughts on that. And then also, obviously, you predicted it. I went with Georgia, so Ray gets the props for that. But a great win, and Georgia could have easily won it. South Carolina, number 24, it holds off Georgia 38-35. What did you think about those two games?
So,
and Gurley got
a little
hit.
Bit.
Gurley got his, I said, but too
he
much.
Did. And Dylan Thompson threw for three touchdowns, and they won in a shootout. So both teams have to be a little disappointed on defense. And I think ultimately, I just didn't see South Carolina losing second straight game in conference. And then at home, they started out with three games at home. I still think Georgia's a fantastic team, and they'll be fine. I just couldn't see South Carolina losing that game. The one that shocked me, though, was DC beating USC. USC was
That's a program
so
builder.
Good.
That's a recruiting
yeah.
victory, Ray. You know, and then remember, I don't know if you remember, I said on the show, watch out for Texas, and they nearly, I mean, even, you know, without my boy Hundley getting hurt and, you know, the backup quarterback steps in and does great, 20-17, UCLA barely beats Texas, but Charlie Strong has got Texas believing, and he's going to turn this program around quickly and is a great head coach, man. I truly believe that. So UCLA survives that one. I got to ask you this, though.
Well, he just needs to recruit a little bit. I think Mac Brown
yeah.
left the cupboard a little bit bare. So
No,
he's got
what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's got to get 2 or 3 years to prove himself.
No.
Remember,
it's going to take time.
They're
going to
keep
You're
him
right.
on a short leash, though, because Texas, for some reason, Texas thinks that they are – it's a little bit like, I guess, Notre Dame with Kelly.
Right.
They just – that they're a top-five team every year. And college football is more competitive than that. You don't just roll out the ball, or in
right.
this case, the football, the pigskin, and you're a top-five team. I mean, you got to have all cylinders, you know, working
and you
got to well.
Recruit. I mean, you got to recruit. So, wait, a couple of other things. Louisville gets upset by UVA. I'm not surprised because UVA almost beat UCLA first week. So they won 23-21. Shout-out to UVA. ACC is looking pretty good. Also, Virginia Tech, after that great win against Ohio State, they lose to ECU, East Carolina, Ray. That was big to me. And then, I don't know if you noticed, it's a big story out here. Taylor Kelly is hurt, the quarterback for ASU, number 16th ranked. I didn't see the rankings for today. They probably moved up, even though these aren't real rankings yet. But that was a blow, and they play UCLA, and I don't know how Hundley's going to be there. But Arizona State lost Kelly for a bit. So college football, man. And can I just tell you this? My Terrapins played their butts off. We lost to West Virginia. I'm watching the Big Ten Network. And we lost. And, Ray, it was a great game. We had the Francis Scott Key special jerseys, you know, for Maryland and everything, for the national anthem 200 years, you know. And we lost to West Virginia, who, remember, almost upset Alabama week one. So great weekend in college football, Ray.
You talked about the rankings. I just want to mention something. This is absolutely ridiculous. The SEC has 7 of the top 14 teams. So fully half of the best 14 teams in college football come from the Southeastern Conference. Would we call it the AFC Southeast? I mean,
Florida. Florida barely beat Kentucky. Kentucky, I'm watching that game because my 15-year-old Elijah is a Gator fan, and Kentucky almost beat them. Kentucky played their butts off. Florida got lucky in 2 overtimes to beat them. So the SEC. But you know what's so funny? Like you said, Georgia and South Carolina, no defense. Neither one of those teams, Ray, is going to win a championship playing defense like that.
No, probably not. But they're still very good teams. I mean, these are elite top 20 teams, even at the end of the year after having gone through a full SEC schedule.
Oh, maybe top 10 teams, you know. So, listen, it's that time. Let's rock out or let's bounce out to some beats. And Ray and Tay will be right back. Week 2, NFL. And we'll also preview Monday night and Thursday night football. Right back.
We're back to talk from NFL, the national pastime. So tell me what you were doing on Sunday when all of these games were transpiring. How were you consuming the new national pastime?
You know, I'm sure we've got to have a listener somewhere that when you say that, they cringe and get upset for those baseball purists. Man, I'm just enjoying the games. You know, sort of feet up, had some company because young 5-year-old William had a play date with a young lady. That's
how it starts.
Ray, Uncle Todd, Uncle Ray likes to call William Willie Beeman. For fans who know Jamie Foxx's character from the movie Any Given Sunday, Willie Beeman, he's a young Mac, you know, wanting multiple young girls in his class want to have play dates with William. So I'll just leave it at that. So he had a wonderful play day with a wonderful family and young girl, and they had a great time. So the games come on. I got to say right off the bat, we got to talk about what happened in Lambeau Field. Ray, I feel bad for Geno because he didn't have the true trust of Morning Wig, because Morning Wig probably lost that game for them. I don't blame it on Muhammad Wilkerson. That timeout, because Geno, he tied up the game. He threw the touchdown. They should have done more, right? They were up 21 to whatever, and Green Bay comes storming back. Jordy Nelson got busy in fantasy. I was loving it. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb fans were happy too. Green Bay wins 31-24, but we texted each other about it. I got to tell you, the New York Jets, they are a football team, and even though they have a tough schedule, I can see 8-8, 9-7. The Jets and Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's a heck of a coach, Ray. I'll just leave it at that. He's a very good football coach. I was proud of the Jets, very proud, but they lost a tough one on the road.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to blame Marty Morningwig, because at the end of the day, Geno's
still doing
some double coverage. And, you know, it was not like the play was perfectly designed. It ended up working out okay, but that should have been picked off, frankly. But more than that, the Jets just gave up too many. The defense, and the Jets were lucky that they weren't blown out, because they held – the first four scores were all field goals, right, by Green Bay. So Green Bay kept driving and driving and driving, and so Green
Bay
was
matriculating.
Yeah,
three field goals, the first three scores were field goals.
So to me, Green Bay was moving the ball at will. They just couldn't score in the red zone. So
it's not like
Mason Crosby was making 55-yard field goals either. So the Jets have to, you know, again, and I thought it would be a blowout, just because I thought you give the Green Bay Packers, as potent as they are on offense, give them 10 days to prepare for a Jets team that's still not that solid on offense. They're probably about an average team. They maybe have above average talent now with Chris Johnson and Decker and
that
right,
and Decker
of
got
talent.
Now, did you hear how long Decker's out for? I haven't heard anything
on
Decker.
No, I didn't.
I don't know if it was that major, but he got hurt towards the end, and I didn't even realize that. And then also A.J. Green, but they said he'll play next week. He basically got a complete donut, played like one play or two plays in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden he was gone. And, you know, for fantasy football fans, it was like a state of shock, because I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't know that happened. Like, I look up, and I got a zero for A.J. Green, and I'm going crazy, right? So anyway, let's move on to another New York team, who it's going to be some dark days. Arizona travels. Now, you thought the Giants could do something. I thought, and this
I
is
did.
Before Drew Stanton was the guy and Carson Palmer Sunday mornings not playing because of a shoulder or whatever. 25-14. I got to say, the Arizona Cardinals are a team to be reckoned with, where they potentially could be playing in the Super Bowl in their home stadium, because this team is good. They're very good. That was a big win to me. They got to easily lost that with a backup quarterback, and they didn't miss a beat. So kudos to Bruce Arians and the Cardinals. And, what do you think about the Giants? What's the writing on the wall? How desperate are they for Odell Beckham and a running game to get going? And just, I don't know. What do you think?
I told you I don't like Rashad Jennings. I don't think he's the real deal. I think he's a serviceable backup. I know if Rashad Jennings is your lead runner, you're not doing anything on the ground. I hate to be that blunt, but I just don't like him as your primary back.
64 yards, 18 carries. You weren't feeling
carries.
That? Yeah,
nope.
That's not.
Who I am feeling, though, is Andre Ellington. I mean, this kid is the real deal.
Yes,
he is
right.
Explosive. He led the league in yards per carry last year. And he is the
very
real
dynamic.
Deal.
6.1 yards a carry in that game, and you got to like Dwyer as the second back, sort of, you know, give you 9 carries a game, 9 for 31 and a touchdown. Cardinals are tough.
They are, and to come across the country for a 1 o'clock game, to lose your starting quarterback an hour and a half before the game, that's impressive. You know, that is impressive. They didn't look great all game, but they scored 15 in the fourth quarter, and they ended up winning in a, you know, not so easy place to win in the Meadowlands or whatever they're calling it now, MetLife Stadium. So, and the Giants are in trouble. The Giants are in trouble. I think this year is going to be like last year. Now the Giants are going to go 7-9, 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 at best.
At best, yeah. Well, let's talk about this game and a shocker that the Saints are now 0-2. 26-24, they come down, Browns kick the field goal. First statement is Hoyer is the quarterback. He played great in the second half against my Steelers. He played very well, not excellent, but very well this game. That last drive was impressive. And this is without the great tight end and without Josh Gordon. Brian Hoyer just drives down the field on a playoff team like it's nothing. And to me, that's very impressive. You know, it's only 204 yards, a touchdown, but no turnovers, right? And then what is really, really you got to like about this team, solid offensive line, which you've mentioned before, Joe Thomas and the boys, Alex Mack. But when you have Terrence West, who was their draft pick, 19 carries, and then another rookie, Isaiah Cromwell, 11 carries. They both, you know, 4 yards a carry, almost 5 yards a carry, and then 3.6. They're very talented. And this kid, Terrence West, Ray, he can catch it out of the backfield. Your boy Miles Austin woke up, got a touchdown. Andre Hawkins was clutch. What'd you think about the Browns and a huge win? Remember, and I told you earlier in the day, tell everybody I sent that text. And I told you, Chargers and Browns, my upset specials.
I was very surprised. I thought that the Saints would take care of business. I thought the Saints were ready to show that they're an elite team and they would run away with the NFC South and they would be up there looking up, but be in that same conversation with Seattle and San Francisco, who both lost, by the way. But this is disappointing to me if I'm the Saints. You know, this is a team that should be winning these types of games on the road. And you look at Brian Hoyer, and I give him a ton of credit because nobody's afraid of his receivers. So they were stacking the box. They were playing aggressive bump and run, and he still was able to be elusive enough and do enough to get the ball down the field on those, especially on those second half, you know, the second half drives when he really needed them.
Yeah.
So I give the Browns a lot of credit, man. And this kid, Brian Hoyer, you know, if he didn't get hurt last year, I don't even know if they would be talking about Johnny Manziel. I mean, this guy looks like a decent NFL quarterback. Now, granted, you're probably not winning a Super Bowl with this guy, but he's
don't say that. Don't say that. You surround him with the right talent. Don't say that because Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, I think Hoyer's got enough to win a Super Bowl with a great defense, good corners. Justin Gilbert played better, and they locked down Brandon Cooks, and a good offensive line, and then Gordon and the rest of the receivers. I think Cleveland is 2 years away from being a serious team, maybe a year away. So don't write off Hoyer. That's not nice.
Okay, all right.
Be nice. Now,
we'll
look.
We'll put them on.
Before we get to Sunday night, let's knock these two out real quick. So we'll get to Manning in a second. But Carolina, huge win. They're 2-0, Ray. They might break the standard that has been set in the NFC South, where since the new formation of the divisions, no team has won the NFC South 2 years in a row. Well, guess what? They took care of an explosive Detroit offense, locked down Megatron, locked down Reggie Bush, make Stafford look regular, 24-7 without Greg Hardy, who was benched an hour before the game, made the active. What'd you think about Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin, who's the real deal, and the Carolina Panthers, who didn't even have D'Angelo Williams, another player out. Very big win, huh, Ray?
Yes.
Huge.
Very disappointed in the Lions.
Oh, come on. That was embarrassing.
If they want to be an elite team, which they think they are, and certainly they think they have an elite offense and an elite front seven, you got to win this game, right?
Yeah.
With all due respect, Carolina can't run the ball.
Nope.
Can't really even pass the ball that much. So,
Stewart, 37 yards, 2.5 a carry.
You know what I mean? And and their leading receiver was Greg Olsen. And his best days are behind him. So he's very solid, but he's not explosive. So Calvin Benjamin will be nice and eventually will get there. But, you know, your number one receiver is Greg Olsen at 72 yards on six carries. You got to win that
and
game.
And a lot of props to Cam, right? I think we got to give him some props, Ray, because we've talked about him and Brady doing more or less. But when you've got Olsen, Avant, and Kotchery, your leading receivers, and then Benjamin, you know, a touchdown. I mean, no, two receptions for 46 yards. 281 yards is pretty impressive for Cameron Newton, man. He's getting better.
Right.
He's getting better.
So I don't know if I'm more impressed with Carolina or more disappointed in Detroit. But both of them are true. I mean, I'm walking away if I'm a Detroit Lion thinking, oh, man, it's another one of these years. We're going to go 9-7, and we're just going to be a great team at home, and we're going to put up, you know, great fantasy numbers. But when it comes to clutch, tough, hard-nosed road football games, not sure we can win many of those if we keep playing like we did on Sunday.
No, it's very true. So what do you think about the Broncos? Listen, Kansas City, give them credit. With all the injuries and Jamal going out early, they almost won this game. I got to say, if nothing else, our boy Andy Reid is one heck of a football coach. 24-17, if that's locked, I mean, you don't want to say it, but in a way, they kind of locked down Peyton Manning. I mean, to hold him to 24 points at home and only, what, 242 yards? That's pretty impressive. But again, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Sanders comes out of the woodworks and has the game that we've been, you know, wanting for him. Pretty dominant, right? 13, he did the Wes Welker, right? 8 receptions, 108 yards. So Denver, this is the type of win they have to get, though, right? They have to grind out these wins.
Yeah.
And they did their job,
So if this weren't the two-time AFC, they're not really the AFC, you know, they didn't win the AFC last 2 years, but you could argue they've probably been the best team in the AFC last 2 years.
Right.
If it weren't for that Hail Mary that Flacco threw, they probably would have been to the Super Bowl two straight years. If it weren't for that, I would be worried. I would be worried for the Broncos. But you know what? Who cares about style points, especially when you're playing in the division? So those games against Oakland, Seattle, and Kansas City, they're going to be
tough
games.
Move on. Yeah.
They know you. You know them exactly. So at that point, style points go out the window. Just win the game. Just win. I mean, you know, getting punched in the mouth is good for Denver because that's what Seattle did. So any tough game is actually, in the long run, I think, going to benefit them. So I'm not too worried about the Broncos. I mean, they are.
Right. Yeah, and real quick, before we get to Sunday night and then predict the next Monday or whatever, we got to talk about this game, the Chargers. And this is the only question I have about Denver, though. They better watch out because this team – could have beat Arizona. They didn't, but they have the confidence and the swagger from last year and what they did, and I think they have the right coaches. McCoy and then John Pagano, defensive coordinator, 30-21, and Phillip Rivers, these young receivers, and the veteran Antonio Gates, ladies and gentlemen. Don't try to bury him yet. He is still a grown man. And the NFL admitted they got it wrong with that Percy Harvin touchdown, which they never even reviewed, Ray, which is an embarrassment. The NFL, this is where the NFL kills you. The rules are in place. You got Command Center in New York. You don't even review the touchdown. All touchdowns are supposed to be reviewed. So anyway, that's ridiculous. So thankfully the Chargers still won when they blundered that whole thing. Phillip Rivers, 284. I'm upset because Jake Locker did nothing against your Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? And I go for a shot to play Locker, and Rivers just rips it up. Seven receptions, 96 yards, three touchdowns for Gates. Ray, even with Ryan Matthews, you got to watch out for these San Diego Superchargers, your third favorite team. What are your thoughts about them? And then going forward without Matthews with Woodhead and Brown.
What did they, that famous line, the story of my demise is greatly exaggerated. So it turns out that our boy Antonio Gates is still alive. Not only is he alive, he's alive and kicking. All of those fantasy players that picked up Green, thinking Green would push Antonio Gates to the side.
Not
so fast, my friend. Not so fast.
That's great.
You know Phillip Rivers is tough. I just think with Ryan Matthews going down and not being there steadily week in and week out, they can piece it together with Danny Woodhead and a few other pieces, Donald Brown. But I just have a hard time seeing the Chargers get over the hump. I love this kid, Keenan Allen. I think he'll be a star. In fact, he was talking smack with Richard Sherman. Sherman's not a real shutdown corner. But I think the Chargers are still yet to be determined, frankly.
No, you're probably right about that. And you know, hey, we could talk about this one a lot. But great, great win for San Diego. It was super hot out there, 115 on the field, and a heat wave in Southern California the last couple of days. So that was, I think, what might have slowed down San Diego, like the Patriots were slowed down in Miami week one. Miami goes to Buffalo and loses. New England goes to Minnesota and smacks them up. But let's talk about the great comeback. The new stadium gets opened last night. It is beautiful. It might be more impressive than Jerry's house. They've got internet there. Everybody's got great Wi-Fi. But you know what? 28-20, and this is my problem. I respect his talent, but I don't think he's there yet, Colin Kaepernick. And to me, Jay Cutler, I really believe if he doesn't make these off-balance throws, he has the potential to be like a MVP and a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. It's just about being disciplined. And I think the performance from Jeffries and from Marshall, I think, honestly, that Marshall is underrated. Those touchdowns and not being 100%, it was amazing. That was a hero-type performance and game, and he is a beast, Ray. And I think right now, even if they, you know, they stop the run and try to lock down Forte, which, you know, they you know, put it on him, but Cutler had to do what he had to do, and he came through even with injured receivers, and that was a huge win Sunday night, only 176 yards passing, but they got the W, and give props to that defense, Willie Young, Jared Allen, and Kyle Fuller on the back end. Huge victory for those Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you know, to me, I'm very disappointed in the 49ers. They turned the ball over four times.
They actually
dominated time of possession. So they were you know, maintaining the ball, and you thought that they were doing fine. What was it, 20-7 going into the fourth quarter?
Penalties killed them. That Frank Gore touchdown. Oh,
yes,
and Vernon Davis was hurt. I forgot about Vernon.
The lack of discipline, the penalties, the four turnovers, giving up 21 points at home. Now, give them credit. They totally shut down Chicago's running game.
Yeah.
But to give up to a banged-up Marshall and Jeffrey were both hobbling out there, to give them 21 points in the second, to give up 21 points in the fourth quarter, I'm very disappointed in the Niners. But you know what? We're running out of time. Let's finish up strong.
Yeah,
let's talk about the game tonight. Eagles and the Colts.
Yeah, and then we'll finish with the prediction for Thursday night. I got to tell you, this is going to be a shootout. You know, a lot of fantasy plays in this one. People got cats all over. Macklin, I got. People have Luck, Foles, Sproles. I think the Colts will find a way to beat Philly and just outlast them. So I'll say maybe 34-30. Andrew Luck, 300 yards as the fantasy stud. Him and T.Y. Hilton do their thing, and the Colts beat the Eagles.
Really? Okay. I'm going to go with the Eagles on the road. I think that the Colts fall to 0-2. I think that Eagles give some matchup problems on turf. They're fast. They're quick. They've got depth, especially at the offensive positions. I think the Colts typically get off the slow starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Eagles will jump on them and play from ahead. So I think the Eagles win this game 30-27 in a high-scoring game.
Now, Thursday night, the Falcons host, and let's hope those fans behave, on CBS, the Falcons host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Thursday night. Not the greatest game. Could turn out to be fun on the field. Feel bad for Tampa, how they lost to the Rams. The NFL needed to check that with the runoff and at least review their time. They didn't. Tampa Bay's 0-2. Falcons are 1-1. I think the Falcons just ripped them apart. And I think this is a bad game for Thursday night football for the whole nation to watch. And I think I'll take Atlanta 27-13 over the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiment. I think Atlanta wins this game big. I think the Bucs are in a little bit of trouble. It turns out Bobby Rainey's pretty good.
Mike James
turned out to be pretty good. James, obviously Vincent Jackson. McCown, there's a reason why. I mean, he's been playing okay, but, you know, there's a reason why he's a career backup. So, this guy gets exposed when he plays 16 games. So I think they have quarterback issues in Tampa. So I agree. Big, and I think Atlanta takes out the frustrations on him. So I think, would you say 30 to?
I went 27-13.
All right, I'll go 27-13. I'll go 30-17. So basically the same type of blowout.
Wow. Well, listen, either way, let's hope that we can just talk about football on the field. And let's hope we just start getting good news with guys getting healthy, no issues off the field, and just some good old-fashioned sports. Ray and Tay, man, thanks for listening. Talking sports with friends. We'll be back Friday, 6 o'clock.
We're out.
Enjoy the sports week. Should be a good game tonight. Let's get some fantasy points. Andrew Luck.
Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration. In September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration. In September, y'all. A celebration.